Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day, a place that many of us have come for so many, many years to worship you and to praise you and to give thanks for you.
Yes.
And so in these moments, there are so many things that could draw our attention away, that could distract our minds in our own personal lives or in our families and circumstances and situations. So help us to take all those distractions and to set them aside for these brief few moments, and help us to focus on your word and the effort that will be made from this place this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, I want you to take a trip with me. I promise you, if you will come with me on this trip, this will be the most exciting trip you have ever taken in your life. This morning, I want you to come with me and walk through a museum in our minds. This museum that we're going to go through today is 1,000 times more exciting than the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. This museum is far above the British Museum in London or the Museum of Art in New York, because the museum I want us to walk through this morning is the museum of your own mind, the museum of your own heart. None of us can deny the fact that the mind or that the heart of an individual is vitally important to Christianity. In Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, the wisest man in the ancient world said that above all else, guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the wellsprings of life. In that verse, the word wellsprings is talking about the starting point of all activities in your life. You see, it is your mind, it is your heart that directs your thoughts. It directs your words. It directs your actions. It is our heart. It is our mind that houses our emotion and houses our will. And the wise man said, above all else you do, you keep guard over this part of yourself. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. The word pure in that verse means unmixed. It means unadulterated. You go to the store and you pick up a bag of sugar and it says pure sugar. What does that mean? That means that in this bag there is sugar, there is only sugar, and there's nothing but sugar in this bag. It's unmixed. You pick up a bottle of aspirin and it says pure aspirin. What does that mean? It means it's unmixed. What is in there is aspirin, only aspirin, and nothing but aspirin. Those who are going to see God are those whose heart and mind is unmixed. Then finally, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 37, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Jesus there is answering the question that was put to him. What is the greatest commandment in all the world? And the greatest commandment in all of the world is to take your unmixed pure heart and love it, all that it is, and love God with it. Now let me tell you one more thing about your mind. According to scientists, every place you have ever been and every word you have ever spoken and any action you have ever engaged in is in the subconsciousness of your mind. Now, we may not be able to recall a lot of things. And we forget a lot of things. But the reason we forget them isn't because they're no longer in our mind. Because everything we've done and everywhere we've been and every word we're spoken, all of that stays in the subconsciousness of the mind. Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on now, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're gonna take a turn right here. And I'm gonna turn my back on you. I want you to imagine with me now a large building. And the sign on the front of that building says, the museum of your mind. Today, we're going to walk through this museum. So we approach the front door, and when we step inside, there is a long hallway. And in this long hallway or corridors, there's doors on both sides of this hall. Every one of these doors represent a different part of your life. Now, my part in all of this is that I am simply the tour guide. Look, I'm not gonna condemn, I'm not gonna criticize, I'm just gonna take you from room to room. We're gonna open the door and we're gonna walk in together and we're gonna see what's in these different rooms. But as we do this, I want you to keep in mind that this is the museum of your life. This is you. So we begin down this hallway. And we come to the very first door. And on that door, there are written the words of Jesus. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so you and I step into this first room. And we have entered into the revival room of your mind. Right now, you are standing in the spot in your mind. Right now, you are standing in a room, and in this room, all of the evangelistic efforts of your life are now on display. You're looking at them. You're standing in this room, and you're now seeing all of the people that you have led to Christ. They're all there. You're standing in this room with me, and now you are looking at all of the Bible studies that you have had with other people to get them to Jesus. You're now able to see all of the people that you have invited to the worship services. Standing in the spot you're standing right now in your mind, you're able to see all of the prayers that you've uttered throughout the course of your life for specific people who were lost that you wanted to see saved. Now, as you stand in this room, and see this. As you look, what do you see in your revival room? And as you stand in this room, are you now more able to understand why there are so many people in the world who are lost, without hope, and without God? Now, look, I'm the tour guide. I'm just opening the door and letting you in. You're looking at you now. Okay. We got to get out of this room. We're going to get in trouble if we stay in here any longer. So you step out of this room, and we step back into the hallway. And we walk down this hallway just a little piece. And on the other side of the hallway, there's another door. And over this second door, there are written the words of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I take the handle on that door, and I open that door, and you and I step into that door, and right now you are standing in the book room of your life. And what is in this room is all of the reading material of your life. Back in the day, all of the newspapers you've ever read, Detroit News, Detroit Free Press, USA Today, all of the magazines you've read, Time, Sports Illustrated, Reader's Digest, and on it goes. All of the apps and all of the reading that you do from your phone, they're here. All of the reading that you've done on Facebook, all of the reading material of your life is just stacked up in this room, and now you're standing there and you're looking at everything you have read. You know what else is in that room? What else is in that room? It's all of the time that you have spent studying the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every utterance of God. Matthew 4:4. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. But you're standing now in your own mind and you're looking at all of the things you've read. Let me ask you a question. As you stand in that room, and as you look at all of this, do you better understand now why there's so much spiritual ignorance in the world? Would you be embarrassed for your brethren to know how little time you spend in the Word of God? Would you be embarrassed for your children to know how little time you spend in the Word of God? Look, I'm not criticizing. Say it's out. No, I'm asking questions. I'm asking questions. I'm not going to condemn. I'm not going to criticize. Listen, it's a question. As you stand in the book room of your mind, as you look at all of your reading and how much time you have spent in all of this reading, listen, are you pleased with what you see in this room? We got to leave this room. So we walked back out into the hallway, and we walked down the hall a little piece, and over the door of the next room are the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said, I'll tell you, every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And we read that sign over that door, and then you and I walk into that room, and you have now entered the word room of your mind. You're now looking at all of the harsh statements that you've said. Amen. You're looking at all of the harsh statements that you've said about your brethren. All of the harsh statements you've said about a preacher or elders or deacons or neighbors or friends. And as you stand there right now, you're looking at it. It's your words. You have to own them. But as you stand in that room, the question is this: does this room embarrass you? Listen, words are powerful. They're powerful for great good, and they're powerful for great destruction. This story actually comes out of the Jewish Talmud. There was a Jewish king who called two of his court jesters to himself. And he turned to one of them and he says, listen, I want you to go out into the world and I want you to find the worst thing in the world, the most destructive thing in the world. Whatever it is, I want you to find it and I want you to bring it back to me.
And he turned to the other one and he said, now I want you to go out into the world and I want you to find the best thing that's out there in the world. Whatever it is, the best thing, and I want you to bring it back to me. Both men took off. But very shortly, they returned. And each of them had a little box. And the king turned to one and said, now, I said, find me the best thing in the world. What is the best thing in the world? And he opened the box, and it was a tongue. This is the best thing there is. This has great power to help people, encourage people, and motivate people, and move people along in life in a positive way. The king turned to the other one. He says, what do you have? He opened his box. I told you to find the worst thing you can. And he said, here's the worst thing. And inside that second box was a tongue. This is the worst thing. This is the most destructive thing on the earth. Listen to me. Both of them were right. The tongue can be the best thing. The tongue can be the worst thing. Depends on how we use it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Well, how can both death and life be in the same thing? It depends on how you use that thing. The word room. The word room. Gossip. Talebearing. Well, you know, I know I really shouldn't say this, but if you shouldn't say it, shut up. Now, say, be quiet would be more polite, but it's a shut up kind of day. So we leave this room. Are you listening?
Yes.
We leave this room. You step out into the hallway and you just stop. And you're thinking about that revival room back there, that first one. And you're thinking about that book room. And what have I been reading all my life? And what did all of it mean? And you think about that word room. But I tell you, we gotta go. We gotta go. So we go down the hallway a little further. And we come to the next room, and across the top of the door of the next room are the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, some of the most solemn words in all of the Bible. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, when you make a vow, that's a promise. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in keeping that vow, that promise. Verse 5 says, it is better for you not to make a promise to God than to make God a promise and not keep it. And this chapter starts, verse 2, it says, don't you be hasty to say anything to God. So, we go through the open doors. And you're now standing in the promise room of your mind. And standing in this room, you are now able to see. You're seeing all of the promises that you have made to God. All the promises that you have made to God. Brethren, listen to me. There's nothing more serious in the world than to make a promise to God. Nothing. But you're looking at these promises. How many times have you said to yourself, well, you know what, I promise, God, I'm going to do it, but you've never done it. It is better never to make a vow to God than to make it and not keep it. You know what's in this room? What's in this room is the initial promise you made to God. When you came to him, repented of your sins, confessed him to be the Son of God, and were baptized and united with him, by those very actions, you made a promise to God. You understand that? By those very actions, you made a promise to God. And what you were promising God is that, God, from this day forward, I belong to you, lock, stock, and barrel. That was the promise. But let me tell you what else is in this room. There's a promise in this room that you made to God years ago, or maybe not that long. And you made that promise in the middle of the night. From the baby's room, there was a cry. And you went to the crib, and the baby was burning up with fever. Remember that? And you pulled that baby up out of that crib and started trying to cool that baby, and we got to get this fever down. And you took that baby in your arms and you walked back and forth in that bedroom, and you were doing things to lower that fever, and you started talking to God. Amen. You started talking to God, and you started making promises to God. You may have forgot them, but God's not forgotten. And you promise God, God, if you will help my baby, God, if you will save my baby, God, if you will do such and so, God, I'll do this, I'll do that. Now, I don't have any idea what you promised early that morning, but I know somebody who does know what you promised. You do. You do. And you're standing in that room right now looking at that promise that you made. Listen, it's a big deal to promise God something. Don't be hasty to open your mouth before God. And if you open your mouth to God, don't delay in keeping the promises that you made. So we're standing here in the promise room. We got to get out of the room. They're going to throw us out of the room. So we leave the room, the promise room, and we got one more room we want to go to. So we step out of this room and we walk down this long hallway, and there's a door at the end of the hallway. And across the top of that door at the end of the hallway are the words of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" So I take the door, I turn the knob, I open the door, and we walk in. In your mind, you're now standing in your obedience room. And you're looking now at the commandments of God. You're looking at the commandments of God. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, "I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of conduct. Unless you cease living the way you want to do it and start living the way God wants you to do it, you're going to perish. There's a command in this room. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Well, I haven't done that. Listen to me. How can you say that you love God? How can you say that you're obedient to God if you haven't done the most basic thing he asked you to do to put yourself in a right relationship with him? This is the obedience room. Obedience to God isn't, "Well, I'll get to it." Obedience to God means that I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey him when he says it. I'm going to obey him how he says it. And I'm going to obey him immediately. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, I'm just a tour guide, but I got a really simple question. Who's number one? Who's number one? Listen, you know who number one is? You do. You know who it is. You know what's most important. You know what's in first. And the reason you know it is because you're standing there looking at it right now. Now, right now, right now, you probably, listen to me, you probably know more about yourself at this moment than you have in a long time. In fact, you may know more about yourself right now than you ever have. But here's what's for sure. If you've even halfway listened, right now, you have a pretty good idea of what kind of person you are. Looking back at how much you have read other things and how little the Bible, or looking back on obedience, looking back on promises, knowing right now the kind of person that basically you are there any changes that you need to make? All this is great. All this is great. And we can leave here tomorrow, great all this is.
But if we don't change, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. Falling short is a bad thing. What's eternally worse is falling short and not doing something about it. Now you can do something about it. Don't leave and say, well, I didn't know. You know, because you walked right through it in the last half hour. You need to change. You've been wanting to change. You promised God you were going to change. Then change. Put on Christ today. Turn away from the world and embrace the Lord. This has been your heart. This has been your mind. You know what's there. You know what you ought to do. May God in heaven give you the grace to do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.